Welcome, careerist nerds, to episode 143 of the Nerd Extravaganza podcast, where you can take any job you like and shove it. I'm Tom.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Cam.
And tonight, for reasons completely unrelated to our current employment statuses, we'll be putting our own nerdy spin on the topic of dream jobs. But first, we'll update you with our life statuses by regaling you with tales of the happenings in our lives in the past week. A shorter way of saying that would be our weekly Geekly Weekly update. Cam, why don't you go first before I hang myself with more stumble-bumble wording?
I think you did just fine, Tom. I had a pretty good week. Got in some nice Kickstarters I've been looking forward to. I got in Fidelitas, which is a sort of medieval card game. Looking forward to playing that with you guys on game night this week. I got the One Night Werewolf expansion. Really excited about that. I know that's something we've all sort of been waiting on getting in the mail, so I'm pretty happy about that. We're going to be playing that for sure at this week's game night at the Adventure Game Store on Thursday night. And then, you know, the big event that I'm sure we're all going to talk about a little bit is, and, you know, what was this sort of previous episode of the show that I'm sure most of our listeners have heard by now, was the, you know, meeting Kenneth Haidt, speaking to him about his RPG writing experience, that of course being at the Adventure Game Store as well on this past Saturday. It was a great experience. He was a great guy, took a lot of time to, you know, just sit and talk with us and, you know, it let us interview him, video him, you know, answer all of our stupid questions. Had a really great time doing that. Then later that night, I actually went to a local, sort of artsy, crafty little place called Joe Picasso's here in Fort Lauderdale. I'll put my nerdy spin on it. It's one of those places where you go and they have these pre-made ceramic type things and you paint them and then they like put them in a kiln and you come back in a couple days and pick them up and they're all like nice and shiny and painted. It's funny because they have a lot of like really geeky things there. They have like a bunch of Spider-Man things, basically a lot of Marvel characters. And I found a Yoda statue type thing. And so I painted my little Yoda with my friend Chelsea. And we had a great time doing that. And then we went and saw the movie Jupiter Ascending with Mila Kunis and Channing Tatum. That was a train wreck. But two hours and 7 minutes of me wanting to bash my face in with my cell phone. But other than that, the week was good, and that's about it for me.
Cool, man. That sounds like a pretty full week. And I think I will throw it over to you, Brian. What have you been up to?
Ken Haidt was kind of the highlight of my week. But other than that, I will admit to a new love affair. I really have to show this to you, Cam. The Star Realms box that everybody got in last week, those are the best sleeves I've ever seen for a game.
Yeah, I got them in my box, but I never opened them because, as you know, I'd already sleeved most of my deck. So I just sort of threw the other ones, that the promos and stuff that came with the box, into just corresponding sleeves so that they would be uniform. But I've got to take a look at them.
I've never seen a single sleeve that holds a card as tightly. It actually kind of feels like those grip mats that are like non-slip. It's amazing. I'll have to bring it Thursday night and show you. I will be purchasing this brand, whatever sleeves they make.
Are they strong? Like, did you try to like try to, you know, pull one apart or something? Or
they're not quite as strong as the pro mat things that we get for double sleeving, but they're way stronger than like the single sleeve stuff.
Well, we definitely will have to do like our own little sort of quality test on them.
And lastly, I very rarely mention comics on here, even though I do read multiple comics every week. I actually do review comics for a local site. And they introduced me to things I wouldn't normally read. Have either of you heard of The Dead and the Dying?
No.
No.
I have no idea how big it's going to be or how big they think it'll be or anything like that, but I was blown away. It's a really well-paced story, and the art is just stinking with thought and planning, and it's really, really good.
You're making a pretty good case for it. Can you give me a 5-second synopsis on what it's about?
They're kind of like Atlanteans. I'm not really sure if it's Atlantis or an Atlantis parallel, but there's a race of like better beings on Earth, and they're too good to get their like hands dirty dealing with the bad things. So they find like the one human that's capable of getting the job done, and kind of like recruit him with the promises of a cure for his dying wife.
Interesting, yeah.
It's, the beginning's nice and violent because it has to show the shit that's going down for him to save. Really well drawn, even that part. And the later part, when they're visiting the sacred temple, I've never seen a comic book do such a good job on a 2D, you know, 4-color surface of drawing luminescence. Like the Atlanteans, I will call them because I don't remember their real names, they glow on the page.
Cool.
And, you know, there's just like this dark, grimy human standing next to him who doesn't glow, and it's really this amazing effect. I'm kind of impressed.
So is this brand new? Can I get in on this with issue one?
This Wednesday is issue one, I believe.
Cool. Looking forward to that. On well, it's a new comic book day, right? Wednesday, so I have to go check that out.
Everybody, you know, loves Marvel, DC, blah, blah, blah. I've never been such a huge superhero fan. This is Image, and Image does a lot of good stuff.
Image... No, I'm thinking of Dark Horse. Never mind. I was just about to ask a Star Wars comic question. Yeah, so Image, they continue to be independent of the two major houses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Well, I think I will check that out. That's pretty cool. It'll give me an excuse to go comic shopping. God knows I'm probably behind on dozens of series, as usual.
And Darth Vader 1 is out this week.
Darth Vader 1. Is that under the new Disney banner?
Disney owns Marvel, so Marvel has the license to do Star Wars comics now.
Okay.
Dark Horse, as you mentioned, lost it. So Marvel just launched this year. I think Star Wars 1 and 2 are currently out. Darth Vader 1 is coming out, and they have a Princess Leia number 1 planned.
How interesting. I wonder what, if any, relationship any of these comics might have to the rumored individual character movies that they are threatening.
I'm actually very curious what canon status they'll have, because I mean, this is a Disney product. There's no reason for it not to be. I mean, they have 100% creative control.
Good point. Yeah, I don't know if they're establishing a new system of canon tiers or what, but you raise an interesting question there, my friend. Does that conclude your update? Anything else?
That is it.
Okay, brings it to me. I will refrain from retreading ground that you guys have both already tread with regard to our recent event and celebrity encounter at the Adventure Game Store in nearby Davie, Florida. And focus solely on myself. I am something of what in America is an alternate transportation, alternate forms of transportation geek. I find the novelty of riding buses, streetcars, trains, etc. very appealing, and the same also goes for bicycles. Of course, a bicycle is nothing new to anybody, even a kid growing up in America, but a dedicated bike path, especially here in car-centric South Florida, where we live, is a very rare thing indeed. And so I had the good fortune to ride along a path called the New River Greenway, which spans a good portion of our county and basically is a path dedicated to bicycles and is away from traffic and sheltered, has some definite flaws, but on balance was kind of a cool time and is definitely something different. So being a little bit of a transit slash bikes and trails geek, I would like to see more of that everywhere in the world. Just ways to get around without an automobile. Oh, and of course, my friend who was with me, my theory is that she slashed her tire so that she didn't have to ride back, and I'm sticking to it. But we had a hard time trying to find her a new tube to get her replaced, and we had a deadline to get back, so we took Uber back. So I had my second experience with Uber. The South Florida experience was somewhat lacking as compared to the San Antonio experience I had while I was out at PAX. I don't know why that was the case. It may just be because I wasn't on, like, an awesome vacation, and so my perception was colored.
Broward County's, like, actively resisting Uber, aren't they? That may have prevented a lot of people who would have gotten into it from getting into it.
Yeah, I believe they are. There have been some rumors that our county is opposing Uber's operations. I don't know if anything's gone into effect. The last I heard, I think they were just going to let them operate as is while they try to hammer out some kind of agreement. I just think that I happened to get a driver. I don't know. He got us where we needed to go. I really shouldn't complain. It's just the experience seemed a little less personal, for lack of a better word. But Uber, yeah, cool. I got to try Lyft because I've heard awful things about the Uber boss's ethics or something. So maybe that'll be my next experience in on-demand taxis. Which is what these things really are. I mean, they call it ride sharing, but I hail a taxi and it shows up, right?
I am always for free market and monopoly busting and stuff like that because the taxis for a long time have had pretty much a stranglehold on any type of alternative transportation, especially here in South Florida, where I mean, let's be honest, the buses and public transportation system is pretty much a joke. So I'm all for Uber and Lyft and those kind of places, those kind of companies. I just wonder how it affects the cabbie population because, most of those guys are just immigrants trying to make a living. And I'm wondering if they're able then to, I'm just wondering if it's a better deal for them to just, go through Uber and be an Uber driver instead. Or if like, they're making less money working for Uber and working twice as hard. I'd be interested to see some kind of study or look at
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I get the feeling that they're not commanding a princely sum working for the taxi companies already. I think that in those cases, the owners of the companies are probably keeping the lion's share of the money and paying these, as you mentioned, immigrant folks who unfortunately, even if their status is legal, tend to be a little more easily exploited, I think. This is just my stereotyping, but I view the taxi company owners as like greedy and screwing these guys anyway. And I like to think Uber and Lyft give them opportunities that they might not otherwise have. I have definitely heard stories of some people who drive for traditional taxi companies supplementing their income by driving for one of these others. So, I don't know. I like to think it's an empowering thing. I would need to do a little more research though to back that up.
Yeah, well, I mean, if nothing else, you're
own boss. Because you're kind of contracting with Uber. It's your car, and you're, agreeing to use their system and pick up fares, right? So here's hoping Uber and Lyft are helping entrepreneurial cab drivers do very well for themselves indeed. And, that brings me on to my final thing, which is that I bought tickets to a Seattle comic convention known as the Emerald City Comic Con, and I will be returning to Seattle for a couple weeks around that time frame, and I'll be hitting that up with a couple of friends of mine up there. I haven't been to a dedicated comic convention in some time, so it should be an experience, and I believe it's held at the same venue as PAX, so I'd like to see how another convention occupies that same space, if I am correct.
Very cool. Yeah, I've heard of Emerald City, and I've wanted to go for years, but just never made it out there. Gotta take the time, man. I'm glad you're doing it. That sounds like it'll be awesome.
Yeah, I will report back and with my findings after I attend the event. So looking forward to it. And that pretty much sums it up. Just riding bikes, riding Ubers, and going to Comic Cons.
This doesn't sound too bad to me.
Yeah, not a bad life. However, I guess I should mention as motivation for tonight's episode, my life doesn't consist only of those things. I also, unfortunately, have a day job, as we all do, unfortunately.
Yep.
And this episode is in no way a commentary on that day job, and nor should anybody associated with my employer take it as such. This is my disclaimer. I am completely satisfied and a loyal employee looking forward to a long and mutually beneficial career with my company.
Of course.
But that said, given the ability to dream up a job, I might, should there be an amicable parting of ways between myself and said employer, choose something else. And I sense you guys might do the same, or at least could pretend that you would do the same for the sake of this episode, right?
Absolutely.
I'd be a newscaster.
Well, I work for myself, so I know my boss is an asshole.
So I've heard. So, with our updates out of the way, I think we should move on to our next segment, which is the news extravaganza. Intrepid reporters Brian and Cam coming to us with a lot of in-depth reporting on what's going on out in the wide world. And Cam, maintaining the order we've established, why don't you go first?
Sure, Tom. Thanks. Just in keeping with the theme of public transportation and, you know, your love of that, Tom, I guess some enterprising researchers took a look at the New York subway system. And apparently from their swabs and tests and everything they did down there in the tunnels, it contains genetic material from over 15,000 species of animals. And that include animals, bacteria, whatever you want to throw in there, and that includes the bubonic plague bacteria. So public transportation, for its many pluses, can have some cons. That being, you may contract the bubonic plague. that's the takeaway I got from that story. Next story is. I don't know if you guys saw back in a few months ago at the San Diego Comic Con, BioWare released this killer trailer, whatever you want to call it, of Shadow Realms, which was supposed to be an action RPG to be played, you know, online or on a console or on your computer. It was basically going to be a fantasy-themed 4-versus-1 RPG.
Oh, yes.
So you basically have, like, one guy who's sort of the DM, and he's, like, you know, the Shadow Lord that's controlling the creatures and the traps and all the problems. And then the other four players sort of work together to try to defeat the Shadow Lord. It looked awesome, and every, like, trailer and video that I saw of it just made me super excited about it. And, of course, BioWare, being of Star Wars Old Republic fame, they know what they're doing when it comes to games, and so I was really excited for that. But apparently they are canceling that endeavor, and Shadow Realms will not be coming to fruition.
Didn't BioWare cease to be?
No, they're still kicking. They were collaborating on that with EA.
Yeah, BioWare is still going strong. Although why they would cancel such an interesting project as that is beyond me. I wonder what if there was something internal or they just didn't think it would do well.
They didn't offer any specifics in any of this, because I did some further research into the stories that I saw, and they're not offering any specifics. But the consensus on the interwebs is that they're just sort of, you know, they want to focus on Star Wars, and they don't see enough potential in the game to justify the resources that they would have to put into it to bring it to fruition. I mean, they got to an alpha test, you know, so they were pretty far along. But Star Wars is. Star Wars is a cash cow, so they probably wanted to, you know, put more resources into that and, you know, maybe not go with the indie type thing.
They should turn it over. They should, like, open source it and turn it over to a foundation to bring it to fruition. That's my.
They totally should, yeah.
Just absolutely. Sell that off.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure someone would be out there to pick it up. I'm pretty sure most people have already seen this, but just to bring it up again, something that I couldn't be happier about is Spider-Man is finally going to be joining the Marvel Universe of movies. Sony has botched Spider-Man so badly that they finally decided, okay, well, let's just license it to Marvel and let them run with it, because we can't, you know, obviously put together any decent movies with Spider-Man. So that is great news, and I'm looking forward to Spidey being in some further Marvel projects. And finally, the rumors abound on the web about a Star Wars theme park. Disney, you know, keeps hinting that they might be creating one. They haven't come out and confirmed 100%, but what they have confirmed 100% is that all of the Star Wars attractions in their current theme parks are going to be based on the new films and not the old films. So obviously in their takeover from Lucasfilm of the franchise, they're wanting to put their stamp on the brand and, you know, move it forward. Which, you know, I completely understand.
That's interesting. I'm pretty much okay with that.
Yeah, so am I.
That explains the water skimming scene in the trailer.
You think that lends itself to a ride, Brian?
Yeah. Like one of those log rides, but you're like an X-Wing log.
That would be great. The flume?
Yeah, right.
Well, just if anyone's familiar with the Astro Orbiter, which is, if you're a little kid, that's the ride that your parents will take you on where you're going around in a circle in these little spaceships that go kind of up and down. Just imagine that, but over water and going a lot faster. There you go. X-Wing Adventure.
I'll throw in, since you said specifically they were for little kids, and I think most people would agree, those things are the highest thing in that park. They're terrifying.
They really are. I was at once horrified and exhilarated as a kid because I literally thought I was flying.
Well, what's awesome is you can, like, you know, make it at least go up and down, which is pretty cool, right?
Yes.
You're not just, like, you're not, like, stuck with it just on autopilot. You can actually, like, affect the, I guess, you know, height and height of it a little bit.
That's how I remember it. I know I don't remember if it just went up and down on its own or if I was affecting that, but I do remember going up and down. I mean, I would look rather foolish trying to get on that ride at this point. But as a child, I do remember, like, being able to climb up and down, or at least thinking I could.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you were able to at least affect the hydraulic, like, up and down of the flyer. But I don't know. Any ride you have to, like, take an elevator to get to is pretty cool to me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like you're really hopping on a... You know, you're going up to take off in a spaceship. It's like real, man.
Exactly, and then you come down and you're like right there by the snack bar. You get like
the lunching pad,
Mickey ice cream.
Correct,
the lunching pad.
Yes, that is in fact called the lunching pad. Yes.
Oh man!
We are of course talking about the Walt Disney World family of theme parks, and specifically the Magic Kingdom. For those of you who do not know, we do recognize that we have a worldwide audience.
Right. Tomorrowland, my favorite land.
Oh, yeah. It's the best. So any more news to report, sir?
No, that's all I got.
Okay. I will be sure to keep my bubon be gone with me when I ride public transit. And let's turn it over to Brian. Let's see what other dreadful plague-related pieces of news he may have uncovered.
I may be the only one actually interested in wargaming news, but I'm pretty excited by this. Privateer Press has announced a second round of Colossals for War Machines / Hordes, Worm Hordes.
Hmm.
Those things, I love them because they're giant. They're just huge. And they all look amazing. Even the factions I don't play, they look killer.
Enough to make you a regular player?
Oh,
again,
no,
Brian?
Not at all. But I'll still buy it and hoard it.
Ah, pun fully intended. Is that even a pun? Whatever. Reuse of the word hoard fully intended.
This might make me watch television again. I kind of turn the TV on for background noise, but I don't follow very much. BattleBots is coming back to ABC.
Ah, yes.
Cool.
So, is it going to be hosted by, oh, I can't remember the name of the actor from Red Dwarf.
Oh. That's right. Oh, what was his name?
I'm trying to think of the actor's name, actually, and I don't remember. But yeah, anyway, that guy. Is he going to be the host?
I don't think they've announced a host yet.
Yeah, well, he gets my vote anyway.
We'll have to start a petition.
Either he or the guy who played Rimmer.
Yes. Yeah.
Or even Holly, for that matter, if that guy's still around.
I think they just took Red Dwarf off of Netflix, which is kind of a bummer.
That's a pity. I think it's available on Amazon if anybody has that avenue available. But that's sort of an aside. Anyway, BattleBots coming back. Do you think that we are going to see varied and interesting robots, or just like straight up like dome and wedge designs coming out?
I'm predicting the rise of spinning hammer bots. They're just going to be like treads in opposite directions, so they'll just spin them, or you know, sideways and hit stuff.
That should be about as boring as I imagined it. If I recall correctly, like that went from being like a way for people to make cool robots to a way for people to just straight up win. So like wedge configurations and like things that were obviously more sound from a strategic standpoint won the day, right?
Yeah, it was all about who could get a hydraulic lever under the other guy and flip him, which, yeah, I thought was kind of lame.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy. Do we have an idea when that is going to be starting?
I don't.
Okay. And is ABC the one owned by Disney, or is that NBC?
ABC, I believe.
Yeah, ABC.
All right. So we'll be getting some BattleBots in Tomorrowland soon, too. Cool. Disney's just firing on all cylinders.
Taking over the world.
Yeah, man.
I can't wait for the BattleBot spinoff series with the solo episodes.
Side stories about the individual BattleBots themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Nice. Anything else, Brian?
I may be able to explain the loss of Red Dwarf on Netflix. They may possibly be making room for the live-action Zelda series they're working on.
Oh, yeah. Gross. That would be a fair trade, I guess. Although, live-action and Zelda gives me some pause, I will say.
I am concerned.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not really concerned because I kind of got... kind of stopped caring about the series years ago.
Zelda in general?
Sadly.
What was the last good one for you? Link to the Past?
Yeah.
It's sad to say.
They lost me with the systems. I mean, I never owned a 64. How could I, you know, care about Ocarina of Time or Ocarina of Time?
Yeah, I mean, putting a great game on a crappy system was kind of the deal killer for me, too, with that one.
I mean, is there any chance this series will be good? I mean, I feel like it's going to be a disaster.
I mean, I just don't know how you translate that series into live action without, like, losing something. I mean, there has been some pretty, like, I don't know. It's not like they can't do fantasy with live action, but, like, who's going to play Link? And who's going to play the princess? And, like, are they going to dress a guy up in a pig suit to play Ganon? Like, how are they going to do all this?
Right.
Well, Ganon's just like some wizard now, isn't he? He's not Piggy anymore.
I think his true, like, evil form is always Piggy. Whether or not he manifests in that form or is even present in a given Zelda installment is always up in the air, but I think Ganon at heart is a pig lord monster. So, I don't know. I mean, we got CG. There's all kinds of cool stuff. If it has a budget and Nintendo maybe, you know, has a lot of influence, it could be good. The casting is what really worries me. Like, it could go sideways very easily.
Casper Van Dien as Link.
I would so watch that. Wait, which actor is that?
The guy from Starship Troopers. Sergeant Rico, or whatever his name.
Johnny Rico,
yeah.
You know, I've had this in my head since I heard this announcement, and I don't even know why. I think it's because she has, like, slightly elf-like qualities about her appearance. But I can't stop thinking of Ellen DeGeneres as Link.
That's pretty funny, because I'm picturing her with, like, the little hat on. And her...
Like, you know, she can, like, pull it off. Yeah. She has, like, an elf-like face, kind of.
That's too funny.
Oh, here's hoping, Brian. I mean, I don't know. What have you got to lose? You might as well be behind the project, right?
Yeah, I mean, it can't be worse than some of the games, right?
Yeah, if it even gets made, who knows? God, you know, they made a live-action Mario Brothers movie, which was really awesome.
Oh, god-awful.
Couldn't they just make it animated? Like, what's with the live-action?
Yeah.
It's cheaper.
Is it? Oh, yeah, I guess B-rate actors and limited special effects is cheaper than, like, all that animation cost, right?
They'll find a way to, like, limit the animation or something like that. Well, the computer animation.
Mm.
It'll be makeup and decent actors.
I mean, I definitely saw that movie, and I believe even in the theater I might have seen it. I mean, it had some really good actors. If you look at the IMDb, I mean, Bob Hoskins was Mario. John Leguizamo was Luigi. Dennis Hopper was King Koopa. Fisher Stevens, who's a great actor, Iggy, Fisher Stevens, who plays Gollum. I mean, that's some pretty big name actors in that movie, and it was just terrible.
Right. Now step away from movie and into TV series and for the web and with a substantially lower budget.
Yeah.
And let's see where we go with that. That's all I'm saying, man.
Yeah. And well, I mean, that was just one of the, I guess, the string of those, like the Ninja Turtle movies and like, you know, they tried to make with like the Ninja Turtle movie with Vanilla Ice. And I don't know. I think they just, I don't know who was running Hollywood at the time, but they made some pretty poor decisions.
Look, man, we got to get new jobs in Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is actually, it occurs to me, a perfect segue, unless you guys have any more news.
Fresh out.
I do not.
Cool. And then I think after that, we can just play the kind of segue we had before, and I left off with
informal discussion.
So guys, in the spirit of an informal discussion, let's just kind of toss some ideas around. Dream jobs, you know, throw something out there, construct your own dream job. I could go first if you want, or let you guys take it away. Anything come to mind?
Go ahead, Tom, take it away.
Okay. Since this is a wide open format where it requires no training and or skills, I'll base it in a job that actually exists on Earth, but that I imagine as being really cool. That being, and we've talked about them a lot this episode, working for Disney as an Imagineer. I have to imagine that those guys and gals go to work every day looking forward to what they do.
Well, that's because they're addicted to Smilium.
is that the gas that surrounds the parks where they work?
That's the Disney smell they pipe in.
Smilium. I don't know. I got to think that's kind of cool to know that you're... I mean, I would imagine a lot of them are probably fans of the Disney and the properties that they own, and to see their ideas realized and on such a grand scale and enjoyed by so many has to be pretty rewarding. Not to mention, a lot of them are engineers and artists and so on, or both. And, you know, it's probably really challenging work to figure out how you're going to come up with solutions to a lot of the problems that they face.
Some of the Disney properties are so genuinely magical. I cannot believe they were made by like humdrum people.
Right. So, I mean, this goes for like starting at the creation of the characters all the way down to the Imagineering level in the parks, right? I mean, these people are, you would assume, are passionate about what they do.
Yeah, yeah.
Not like I was, you know, engineering toasters and vacuums, and then I decided to start making, like, animatronic dwarves. Think about the range of talent involved. You know, you've got people who are artists, who are essentially architects, who are into landscaping, who are into materials, who are into, of course, the animatronics and electronics and mechanical engineering and just the programming and all the different disciplines that all come together. I just have to imagine you're surrounded by engaged, talented people who were really all doing their best. And I don't know. Of course, it could be a crappy place to work, but I imagine it as being a highly collaborative and rewarding environment in which to work. And stepping away from Disney Imagineer, I'll just say, like, any job fitting that description would be kind of a dream job if I had to work a job, if I couldn't just be rich. So why don't you guys go next? Why don't you Imagineer up a job for yourselves?
I will say this, and then I will immediately ask myself why. I would still like to be a gaming cafe, gaming pub, gaming store owner. Even though I really don't think it's a viable business model or approve of half the audience or enjoy spending half the time I spend there already or...
Okay, so when you imagine it, Brian, what is it that you imagine that appeals to you?
It is a passion of mine, gaming, teaching people how to game, exposing people to games they might not have otherwise seen. I mean, that's why I do Thursday night. That's why I show up at the pub when I do. It's something I genuinely enjoy, and I'd like it to be part of my life, but I do want it to remain voluntary.
So you enjoy showing people a good time and introducing them to things you enjoy, but you want to be able to reserve the right to refuse service?
Yeah, yeah. Unless I can be, like, you know how people keep shotguns behind the counter?
Yes, yes.
I'll just keep, like, a super soaker.
Because we know water is, like, even worse than a shotgun to some gamers that we know.
It would solve a lot of problems.
You know, at PAX South, I attended a panel put on by successful entrepreneurs who have created either geek-themed bars or bar-restaurant combination thingies. And apart from, like, the obvious, like, you have to know how to run a bar or you have to be, you know, or a restaurant and make sure you're running that core business, one of the things they really stress is that you are building a community. You are, and I've tried to explain this to people whenever I've just kind of pitched the pipe dream of opening a place like this. You're serving an unserved niche of people, you know, comprised, or I should say occupied by people who are never served. So it, you're not just a proprietor. You're kind of a community leader. You're kind of at the center of this community, and you have to nurture it, and you have to take these people by the hand and get them to enjoy this place where now they feel welcome. Because maybe, and they were saying this in no way to be to denigrate their customers. A lot of these people, you know, they don't go out because a bar doesn't appeal to them. They're not into the sports and whatnot. Now you're setting up a place where they're comfortable, and you're having to walk them through, you know, being out in public and in a bar and or a restaurant or hanging out. I don't know, Brian. Is it that hand-holding through social interaction that puts you off?
Well, my idea of hand-holding is more of a tossing motion.
like tossing them out? Or
the first nasty fuck who kicks off his shoes and puts his feet on my bar is going to get rolled. And I see that all the time. I don't. That's just a weird pet peeve of mine. I don't understand who goes around barefoot in public.
Well, that, you know, that was another one of the things that they said, like, some people you do just have to be like, sorry, man, like, you're not compatible with, like, humans. Time to go. What are your thoughts on this, Cam?
You know, I tend to agree. It's like sort of Ken Height said the other day when we were listening to him. I mean, the easy way to avoid that is just don't invite those people, you know? Just they may be fine for other things, but, you know, you just got to sort of let some people go.
Right. Like, okay, not to say that we've seen similar examples in our day-to-day lives, although we have. One of the owners, you know, they have consoles. They have controllers there. One of the solutions they came up with is, hey, can I get a game controller? Sure, order something and you get a game controller. Right? Like, so you make them pay.
Right.
Or, you know, you could be cool. If some people come in and it's not busy and they order, like, one drink and they're there all day playing games, that's fine. But now when a party who are coming in to buy drinks shows up and they want to spend money and they're looking to have a good time, you got to feel confident enough to kind of let the freeloaders or the cheapies know that they've worn out their welcome. So I guess Brian's Brian's rolling instinct is probably not, while a little more extreme than maybe needed, is probably kind of spot on. Like, you would have to assert yourself to make sure that your paying customers would have a good time and would not be run off by your quote-unquote usuals or your regulars.
Yeah, well, of course, and you got to walk the fine line between, you know, profitability and customer service. But I think that in situations like that, it's not uncouth to let people know, hey, look, you know, we want you here. You're who we are wanting to cater to. But at the same time, here's what the basic parameters of that are. I think if you define it clearly from the outset, it comes off a little better than just, hey, buddy, you've been sitting there for 2 hours. I need you to either order another drink or whatever, or, you know, hit the bricks. I think if you sort of have it clear guidelines of, okay, this is a, you know, because it's already a unique concept. It's not like a restaurant. I mean, people go to a restaurant, they eat something, you know, they typically don't really hang around much after they're done eating, unless they're talking or on a date or something, you know, for a little while longer. This is something that, you know, a game pub or a game place, it's encouraging you to stay there.
Yes.
So, you know, you want them to stay there, but then you're going to have to figure out a viable way to then get people to keep spending money while they're staying there.
Yeah. And I mean, it's almost like you got to have a rules of like conduct, like, you know, hey, buy something once in a while, bathe.
Well, yeah. I mean, that goes without saying. But I mean, I don't think it's unreasonable to say like, well, all right, if you're going to be here for, you know, you got to buy at least a drink an hour, or you got to, and if you're not going to buy a drink, then, you know, the gaming surcharge is X dollars, you know, something like that. But, you know, give them something for their money. I mean, aside from the gaming, like, you know, all right, look, here's your choice, you know, per hour or per 2 hours or whatever, you know, you get a snack or you get this or a drink or whatever, or a bottle of water, just something so that you're still making money, but, you know, they're still getting a benefit and, you know, it's nothing too obtrusive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Something so that they're, you know, they're paying for their time without just like basically feeling like they're paying a meter, you know?
How do buffets handle this?
Buffets?
Well, I was thinking of more along the lines of like comedy clubs. I mean, comedy clubs for, you know, years have like a 2-drink minimum, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, they let you know right off the bat, hey, it's a 2-drink minimum. When you come in, like, you got to buy at least, you know, whatever. I don't think there would be an issue having a, you know, all right, if we're going to do Friday night magic or, you know, Saturday night board gaming or video gaming or whatever it is, that's fine, but it's going to be a, you know, two drink minimum and you've got to buy an appetizer.
Well, see, now that's exactly one of the, they were talking about a lot of interesting things, and events were one big thing that they discussed. So, you know, Monday during the day, slow times, very lenient, but tonight we're doing XYZ night. And we're looking to get a certain, you know, either a certain cover charge for that event or have you buy the drink minimum.
Right.
There's a million ways to skin that cat, but yeah, it's a matter of, I guess, dealing with a community of people who aren't used to being out and a community of people who, as we have observed, aren't used to like actually spending money to support the places they spend so much time in.
Yeah. I think you're exactly right, Tom. And to your point, Brian, buffets. I've actually been kicked out of a buffet.
What?
Yeah, I was at. It wasn't a buffet per se. It was you guys all know, down here in South Florida, we have a chain called the Ale House, and they were doing an all-you-can-eat crab leg promotion. And I was in law school, and I was with three of my old football buddies. And we went in there and we sat down and we just started killing crab legs. And the manager actually came out and was like, look, you guys are breaking me. Like, I can't give you any more crab legs. I'm sorry. Like, I mean, we were pretty much done anyway, but we still were able to sort of wrangle that into a, you know, a discount on the, I think he gave us like some kind of voucher or something for, you know, future or whatever. But like, the guy was like, you guys have gone through like 4 cases of crab. I can't give you any more.
He didn't let you like switch over to zingers or something after that.
No, I mean, he just basically was like, you guys are breaking me. You're killing me. I can't,
Wow. That's pretty bad.
And I wonder why my cholesterol is 400.
No way, man. Crab's like fish. It's like good for you or something, right?
It's the butter we were dipping it in.
Exactly. nine parts butter, one part crab.
Well, Cam, obviously other than all you can eat crab leg eating champion, I guess it's your turn. Do you have a sort of dream profession that you can offer?
Yeah, you know, I'm not too unhappy with my current profession or my current, status. But if I could choose something else, I would say, you know, I, like you guys, I'd love to travel. Traveling is one of my favorite things. I've done it extensively over the last couple of years. I haven't been able to because I've been working on some really intensive business interests. But I would love to combine my love of travel with my love of all things geeky. And sort of do like a Hitchhiker's Guide to the geekiness. You know what I'm saying? Like, go to Japan and go to like the Attack on Titan park and do a review or a vlog or basically just go to all the geeky spots. I mean, they have so many shows and different things where, you know, people go to the best diners or best drive-ins or best whatever, steakhouses or barbecue or whatever all over the, you know, restaurants all over the world. I'd love to go to all the geeky attractions all over the world and get paid to do it and review it and give my thoughts on it and experience it and, you know, let people know what it's like and how it is. To me, that would probably be, like, absolute, you know, the ideal job.
Interesting. So one of these guys that visits all the crappy diners around America, but you visit all the geeky spots around the world.
Exactly.
Wait, why are we not doing this? This is a great idea.
we should put that plan into action.
Yeah, absolutely.
we need to write a grant proposal to, like, you know, I don't know, Warren Buffett or somebody, see if they'll pay us to do that.
Given that the rigors of travel are what they are, I volunteer to help.
If either of you can fake an accent, we can pitch this to BBC America.
Yeah, I mean, look, I can probably develop a Cockney accent in 2 to 3 months.
Would they want a British accent, or would they not want to see, like, we could be like geeky Yanks abroad or something like that?
Yeah, that might be a good spin. Yeah, I mean, BBC America is pretty huge. I mean, they might need us.
Yeah. Oh well, right. BBC America wants a British accent, but probably BBC proper, they would be happy to have us sounding the way we do.
And just being just boobs walking around.
Right, right, yeah, look at this.
Abroad.
Right, and the more ignorant and stereotypically American we acted, the better received we would be, I think. Do you speak English? Hello?
Where's the McDonald's?
I can't believe this is what you people eat over here.
Oh, man. But, yeah, that would be my absolute dream job. Traveling, experiencing all the geek culture that all the different countries have to offer, experiencing the geeky food, geeky convention, you know, conventions all over the world, cruises. There's such a huge cruise circuit now, like, you know, Star Wars, Star Trek, like all these different, you know, nerd and geek-related cruises. I mean, I just would want to do everything. I think it would be amazing.
Okay, seriously, why aren't we doing this? All right, this is our new mission. The Nerdtravaganza is going to pivot right now, and this is our new calling.
We're going mobile. Right?
Yes,
it's Ganza Goes on a bigger scale.
That's true. We've done this with Ganza Goes anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we could make it a full time job somehow if we could just get the funding.
Yeah. Well, we just need a camera and us, right? We just throw it on the web. We got the funding. Let's do this. We just need a talented cameraman, right?
Yeah, I'm sure we could recruit somebody.
Yeah,
we just need GoPro.
GoPro, yeah.
Yeah.
We do a GoPro. Well, I mean, yeah. I think we have all that together. But I mean, you know, flights, hotels, transportation. I think that would probably hinder us unless we got some serious funding somewhere.
I think airlines and hotels would be happy to comp celebrities like us.
Oh, you're going to plug us on nerdstravaganza.com? Here you go. First class ticket to Bangkok, Thailand.
We have
a German fan now. Huh.
Yeah, that's true.
We have tens to hundreds of listeners who...
Well, we should do a Kickstarter. let's do a Kickstarter. Fund our Ganza Goes project.
Yeah, I dig it. Let's do it.
What we're going to do is we're going to take our cat around the world, and he's going to review the geeky places.
Oh, cat.
And he may or may not explode.
Wait, oh yeah, exploding cats or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Ganza Cat Goes. Ganza Cat Explodes. Oh my gosh.
I think we need to put that plan into action.
Agreed. All right, that's it. That wins it for me. I think once I do that, I can then, we can parlay that into our own theme park, and then I will be head Imagineer in spite of the fact that I lack any and all talent. I'll just come up with ideas and other people will implement them.
And I will be fine sitting in the back office as general counsel because I don't want to deal with the general public.
Well, that's great. And Brian will be the proprietor of our on-premise bar.
Yes.
An entertainment center. And since it'll be our own private Disney-esque park, we'll have like our own police force and all these extra legal rights that nobody else enjoys.
This some stormtrooper type, you know, security around us at all times.
Right. We reserve the right to throw you out of our park because we don't like you.
I'll settle for a trap door next to the cash register.
Just, oh man.
I guess I should buy something. I've been here all day. No. Just step to the register, sir. Goodbye. Whee!
Yeah, we need to make it extra wide, though. Wheel your hover round a little bit to the left.
Your hover round. Oh, my God. Just scooter your non-ambulatory ass right over here, and goodbye.
Exactly.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I think, I don't know. This was fairly short and sweet. Do you guys want to take another crack? Or are you pretty satisfied that we demonstrated some potential dream jobs?
I don't think we can top that.
Yeah, I think that all came together rather nicely, Cam. You did a great job wrapping it all up and bringing it all together.
I'm glad I could be of service.
Absolutely. Speaking of being of service, we are, of course, happy to be of service when it comes to providing quality podcasting entertainment for you week after week. And we invite you to subscribe to our podcast and rate us favorably and write us an amazing review if you like. And check us out on Stitcher if you prefer a streaming solution.
Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, join our Google Plus circle. And if you want that extra Ganza goodness, join the Nerd Shavaganza HQ Facebook group.
And while you're slaving away at your job, if you need a welcome distraction to get you through the day, head on over to nerdstravaganza.com and check out all of our back episodes and other premium content. Also check out our YouTube channel for our video content. And our assignment to you this week is to shoot us an email at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com. We will be having a board review at the end of the week to check out your progress.
And with all of our usual farewell housekeeping out of the way,
you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Done. All right, beautiful. Yeah, we came in right at about an hour. That was good.
Yeah, let's stop this. Yeah, that's probably only...